Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to navigate, so that we can navigate the tumult of this difficult life. And what we're going to be talking about is a navigation that began with you, with Stephanie, where you ended, well, I should say, where you, a turning point in your life was on your face weeping. And you've said that if, you know, you were weeping before the tabernacle, and you said, if something doesn't change, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to take my kids with them. But what I want to do is backtrack before what led up to that turning point moment and talk about our marriage retreat that we do together, which is called Divine Intimacy in Marriage, which was birthed in some sense out of that moment, really, out of that moment of pain and devastation and all that mess. And so what I want to do is talk about what we do in the marriage retreat, which is we begin with this testimony. You begin with this testimony of what happened to you. And how the Lord brought you out of an incredibly dark situation into a place now where you're helping men and women more than me, helping them to get free and to have beautiful marriages. So let's jump into your testimony.
This was really difficult for me. Especially because I had just never spoken about my story, my testimony, what the Lord's done for me before. You know, long from the beginning to my conversion to meeting you, to marrying you, and what he's done since then. And I was super uncomfortable, crazy uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful, though, because we were called by a Mother Superior. A shout out to Mother Louise Marie, just a dear friend of ours. And she said, you will.
Sister Servants, by the way, of the Eternal Word, that can be found in Birmingham. And yeah, they have retreats.
Casa
Maria every week of the year.
It's
always
awesome.
Faithful.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome place to be. She's a dear friend. And she spoke into our lives and wanted to know kind of what was happening. And so she said, you need to do this. You need to write this marriage retreat. And you and I had never been to a marriage retreat, and we had never experienced one. So understanding that in order for us to help people in the retreat, we needed to tell them where we had come from, what had happened to us, right? So that they could understand, you know, who are you?
We're not talking down to folks.
We're not talking down to folks. You know, I think there's a danger sometimes when people are out testifying to the Lord and the power of his grace, that other people who are suffering, you know, the enemy can twist that in their minds and in their hearts. And they look at that and go, who are you?
Right.
You have no idea what my life's been like or what I've right. been through. And so I knew that at the beginning, when we were talking about how do we begin this, how do we start, is that we needed to talk about our testimonies and why we believe that what we're about to share with them will transform their hearts, their minds, their spirits, their marriages, and their families in a profound way if they will step into it.
Well, and it's the testimony is there to say, you know, we both suffered and made some major mistakes and done some dumb things and been victim of them as well. And therefore, if we can do it, you can do it. I think.
Yeah, I think for me, it's more than that.
Okay.
Because when I started to pray about this, I said, well, how do I do this, Lord? What do you want me to say? And I was literally in a little retreat center, and I opened up a Bible and I just let it fall, and it fell on a psalm. And it's, I think it's 55 or 60
or something. This was in the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament.
Right. And I don't have it with me, but basically the psalm was, tell them what I have done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what I have done for you. And I think for me, when I speak my testimony, is not to say, if I can do it, you can do it too. It's to say he makes all things new.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm, of course, assuming
right.
there's no way to do it without God.
Right.
Yeah.
But in particular for me, because I was so broken.
Yeah.
I basically was Mary Magdalene. I identify very easily with her, uh-huh. with her history, how the Lord, you know, everything in my past, from what happened to me as a child. You know, I was abused at one point, you know, my parents divorced, you know, mixed family, you know, all this crazy stuff going on, and then enter sin and the sin of my loved ones, my sin and everything. And it really wrecked me. It really destroyed me. And it wasn't until the Lord broke into my life with grace that he set me free and helped me to get on a right ordered path. And then I just had to follow him, you know, yeah. basically in desperation.
I think the best place to start, because we're going to need to chunk these up into our normal show parameters, is mm-hmm. in terms of time, is let's start with your marriage, your previous marriage, which we can talk about the detail of that, but you're standing in the back of the church with your dad.
Yeah. I had entered into that relationship doing basically all the wrong things. And as I was standing at the back of the church in my wedding gown, the harp is playing. You know, all of my family is there. My grandmother's at the front of the church. She had flown all the way from Costa Rica to be there. You know, at that moment, that's when my dad turns to me, of all moments. And he said, in anguish, really, to his little girl, "You don't have to do this."
So he had been watching up until that point. He could tell you weren't happy because you weren't. And he was hurting for you, even though he was a guy that really struggled himself. But he probably just didn't know how to talk to you before that. So yeah. In that moment, he says, "You don't have to do it." The moment when everybody's there, right? What did you say? And then what was in your heart?
Well, my visceral reaction was, "What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm in my wedding gown. Everybody's here. I'm right. getting married."
Right.
You know, internally, what I couldn't say to him was, "You don't understand. Nobody else will have me." Hmm. And that was an internal dialogue that had been happening to me, really, from as far back as I can remember. I was just recently even talking to my spiritual director about this, and that a spirit of destruction had entered into my life when I was very young, maybe with the abuse that I suffered, maybe with the turmoil of my parents who did not have a sacramental marriage. May God grant them peace and have mercy on their souls. They've both passed. All the trauma in my family.
Who have both passed?
Both of my parents.
Your biological parents. I'm thinking of Deacon Howard, who's you yeah. call dad,
yeah.
Who was your stepfather, who's a very good man, and he's still
yeah.
running around at 80 plus, right?
Yeah.
He's just had a
no,
birthday.
No, I'm talking about my young years.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre-13.
Yeah, you yeah.
know? And all the turmoil, all the drama in my home, so much anger. And the words of destruction that kept being thrown at me, you know,
yeah.
You know, so that set a course in my life to where that internal dialogue, when we hear over and over again, "You're not to be seen, you're not to be heard, you're broken, you're bad,
you're defective, yeah,
you know, over and over and over and over again, you start to internalize that and believe it. Especially if you don't have discernment of spirits, if you don't have a greater understanding of the greater spiritual reality, the drama, the theodrama that's going on for your soul and for your life and for the trajectory of yourself and all those that are around you, you accept that as real, as true. And then you go about, in my case, I went about just trying to relieve the pressure. I just kept thinking, well, if I do this,
The
pain will go away. If I do this, this will go away. If I do this, this will go away. If I just do this, you know, I'll finally be okay.
So the lies are ruling you, mm-hmm. in essence, and the spirits associated with them, to live in accordance with the lies, whether it's a reaction to them or a capitulation to them. It doesn't really matter. That's the way the enemy sort of works. And because though you were a Sunday Catholic, you weren't going to confession.
Right.
You didn't really have a life of faith. It was sort of a surface thing for you.
Well, I would have lived and died a Catholic, but I didn't know why.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't have the Lord in your life, really, mm-mm. because you're committing grave sin every time you receive communion anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're standing in the back of the church. Your dad says, you know, you don't have to do this. You said, I got to go forward with it. So when we, so you got married, of course, mm-hmm. you had two beautiful children.
Mm-hmm. And I lost one.
Lost one.
I had a miscarriage right out of the gate, probably a month in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And really you, and the two that are alive, beautiful Ariel and Marcus. Mm-hmm. And when you had Ariel, there was a tiny little bit of a spark of an awakening spiritually for you, wasn't there?
Oh, it was more than that. I mean, I think it was kind of like the lighting of the candle.
Uh-huh.
One of the reasons that I think it's so important to have children is because our perspective changes
on the world, on everything.
On everything. And I'm holding my daughter, and I think, first of all, I'm counting her toes and, you know, seeing that she's all there. And then as I'm looking at her, I'm realizing that all the things that I'd been worried about, clothing, food, what the nursery was going to look like and all those things, really faded away. And I had a moment interiorly where I knew I'm responsible for her soul. And the reason that's so incredibly significant, outside of the fact that it's true and it's amazing and it's deep, is I didn't think that way. I didn't dialogue that way. That was, I believe, the Lord, my guardian angel, Our Lady, someone saying to me, you have a greater purpose. She has a greater purpose. There is something much bigger going on here. And that was profound. And I started getting more serious about my faith for the sake of my children.
Friends, just our latest course that's going to draw you very deeply into a place of knowing and loving God and being loved by Him. It's called The Beloved Disciple, Spiritual Wisdom in John's Gospel, taught by Father John Michael Paul, Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You got to apply by October 27th. Go to avila-institute.com.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will, titled Finding Peace in the Storm, with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. Dan and Stephanie Burke, we're talking about our exploration of divine intimacy in marriage. And we left off before the break, Stephanie, of you having that awakening by having a baby. I guess fast forward how many years to everything just sort of fell apart, even though there was some light there. Talk about that.
About 13 years.
13 years. Yeah. We were married for 13 years. Yeah. Never a true sacramental marriage, right?
Right. We did not share in the Eucharist.
Right.
Obviously, I'm talking about something that was annulled.
Yeah. Right?
So, you know, spoiler alert on that. It was annulled.
Right.
So all of the preconditions for the marriage, in order for it to have been totally free and faithful and all
sacramental
yeah.
weren't there. Yeah.
Weren't there. So, you know, 13 years in, things started to unravel, and they unraveled very, very fast. It's hard to conceive. It really is, but I'm not being exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating in this, in that the marriage, as far as what was said and what happened, ended in 48 hours.
Hmm.
In 48 hours, it shattered, and it shattered in such a dramatic fashion that I look back on it in somewhat of awe of what was happening, mm-hmm. because it was like a tornado ripped through the center of my home, and it went from everybody kind of holding it together and everything's fine to 48 hours later, nothing's fine.
Well, but that's the surface level,
right?
Because nothing was really fine. This had been building up,
right?
And then and because the other person involved is still out there, we don't want to in any way denigrate them or whatever.
And I wouldn't. I pray for him. I care about him.
Yeah.
He's the father of my children.
Sure.
And I desire nothing but good and blessings on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's what I desire.
But it all fell apart in a moment. Yeah. Yeah. And you found yourself in a whirlwind of life circumstances.
Right.
So that wasn't the beginning of the darkness. It had begun really with that conversation at the back of the church, or it actually had begun even earlier than that.
It was way, way before that.
Because
it was probably a year and a half before that.
Yeah.
Or even I would push that darkness back into my childhood.
When you were abused.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it carried into a decision to marry that was one that was rooted in that darkness, not rooted in the light or goodness. Mm-hmm. So you come to the end, and essentially he moves out, and you didn't at that point. It wasn't like anything got better. Things got worse.
It actually did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have said to others, you don't understand. Divorce isn't the answer. It's not going to heal you. It's not going to suddenly make the pain go away.
It doesn't work.
It opens the door for another plethora of demons to come into your life,
right,
and wreck you.
Right.
Really, honestly, because my life got dramatically worse for a full year,
mm-hmm.
where I just felt like my entire world was spinning out of control. It was devastating. It was devastating.
So that brought you to the realization, this is not the way. So this is what's beautiful, is God is so good. Mm-hmm. And he, even when we're making terrible decisions, because I've done them too, he still loves us. And he still calls us back to him. So he called to you, and he gave you an idea, probably your guardian angel. Hey, maybe there's a little better way of doing this.
Yeah. I was alone, mm-hmm. you know, because it was my weekend to be alone. The kids were with their father, and I'm devastated. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just surrounded by brokenness. I feel dead.
Yeah.
I'm in despair. I don't know what to do. And this little thought comes, you should go to church.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night, you know, on a Saturday night or whatever, Friday night. I knew it was the weekend. And I, you know, and I was 20 minutes away from it. So it wasn't like I could just go around the corner. So I get in my car at that hour and I'm just driving, just driving there. I get there and it's connected to a school and I'm walking around the parish trying to figure out how to get in, not knowing why I'm there. I mean, I could have been arrested for all I know, you know, poking around the church in the dark. And I see a woman cleaning the gym. And there's one car in the parking lot, and I realize it's the janitor. And so I rapped on the door, and she can see me standing full in the door. And I said, you know, can I come in? I just want to come in for a few minutes. I'm a parishioner here. And I find my way back to this. I keep being drawn to this little room that had brass doors in front of it that were behind the altar. And mind you, I didn't have words for these places. I didn't have the language. I didn't have liturgical language. I knew one word, Mass. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know the parts of the Mass. I wouldn't have been able to explain the Mass to you if you had asked me. And so I'm wandering through the, you know, light, the darkness and the light, because there was nothing but accent lighting at that point, because everything's dark. And I go back into this little room trying to find a way in. And I realize that it's a little chapel. And I sit in the chapel and there's a gold box. And I just sit there and stare at it. Like, I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing? You know, I don't even know that I was questioning anything. It was more of a just profound silence.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I stared. And then I had a very distinct urge that I needed to be on my face. Now, mind you, I'm not catechized. I'd never seen an ordination of a priest. I don't know why that idea came, except that I can only say it was my guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And just this sense of get on your face. And I laid down on my face and I began to weep. And it was as if everything in my life flashed before my eyes, and I'm crying out the abuse. The anger and pain of my father, my mother's suffering, and her anger in response, the turmoil in my family, the divorce, my subsequent years of mistake after mistake, trying to feel better. My own relationships, the broken ones, everything, my marriage, my children. And I'm just crying and crying and crying. And I'm pouring this all out for the Lord. But I didn't know that I was doing that. I was just crying. But at the end, when the tears stopped, I just had a real sense of ask. And I leaned up and I looked at that box. And I said these words out loud. I've been told you're there. If that's true, take over my life and I will do whatever you ask of me. There was no booming voice, no response. I just got up, cleaned myself up, and I went home.
Then you got another thought.
Yeah.
We have a few minutes. I think you can fit it in.
Humorous.
The tabernacle was low.
Right.
This was now your start. It was the low point.
Yeah.
Now you start to come out of that darkness.
Yeah. Because I had asked, you know, I gave him everything. I said, take over my life. I will follow. So something shifted, you know, in that moment, because when you pray like that, the Lord comes. And I'm at work and I have this other thought. I keep seeing these advertisements for eHarmony. And it's just over and over again. And then this little thought comes. I wonder if there's a Catholic eHarmony. And it was a very like jarring thought. And I went, oh, that's right. I wonder if there's a Catholic eHarmony, because I had this sense of, I didn't marry a Catholic. I didn't have that. I had this sense of there was something missing. There was something, there was no glue. There was nothing to unite in. There wasn't any true intimacy, right? And so then I Googled, or not at that point, it was Yahoo, I think, yeah. Typed it into the search bar, and up pops Catholic Match.
Hmm.
And I literally like gasped. I thought, oh, it actually exists. And so that's where I met you.
Well, and you knew you had to have a relationship rooted in your faith. And obviously the Lord was working there. And you, so you filled out your profile. We'll get to my side in the next show. But you filled out your profile, and you checked that you believed all the teachings of the church except for one.
But
should
I think,
tell them what it is?
No, I think they should wait until you tell your story.
Okay.
Because it's pertinent to your story.
So the next
show, I fill it all out and I post it.
And you press go and you're like, oh no, what did I just do?
What have I done? Yeah.
Right. All right, friends, you're watching or you're listening, both watching and listening to, if you're on YouTube or on the radio, whatever, Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking through how we approach marriage ministry, and in particular in our Divine Intimacy and Marriage Retreat. And if you want to sign up for one, we have them every year. You can head out to spiritualdirection.com/events. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, like, send people this message. If you know folks who feel like they don't have any hope in their marriage and things are just never going to get better, our testimony to you is that marriage can be beautiful even if you come from a very, very dark place.
Jesus makes all things new.
Yep.
So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.